America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Each and every show, we kick it off with our pals from Talk Radio News. The Grand Dame is with us, Ellen Ratner. Ellen, it's the day after the State of the Union. I'm sure people are buzzing and picking apart what the president had to say. What's the general reaction?
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder when it comes to State of the Union. And obviously, Republicans had a very, they said, the president, well, he gave a usual speech, and he didn't say anything new, and he didn't cut down on the budget, and then the Democrats said, oh, so he hit it out of the park, he really talked about what's going to make America move forward. Well, you know what, aside from a few of the senators sat with other senators, most of people sat on their sides of the aisle, and nothing has changed, and I think that's what was so disturbing.
Yeah. And today the House Republicans come out and they say, to the Senate, stop the sequester, really. You think that that's going to make them stop the sequester? It seems like we're on the crash course for that.
Well, I think the White House talked about the sequester today, and they especially talked about what they could actually do with the sequester to make it go away. The White House is very much trying to get each department to not have to deal with that. Figure out a way of cutting by attrition, by not perhaps some contracts. But, when the government spends money, it props up the economy, let's face it.
Boy, isn't that true. And how about this this thing with Harry Reid challenging the Republicans to filibuster the Hagel nomination for the Pentagon seat?
The White House today said that they are absolutely convinced that the Pentagon seat is going to go through with Hagel, and so is Jack Lew for Treasury Secretary. They must vote, and they must know they have.
Yeah. All right, so we'll see as the cabinet drama continues. Ellen Ratner, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
You too. All right, so we're going to continue to pick apart what the president had to say in the State of the Union. When we look at it from, minimum wage, when we look at the numbers, that was part of our last show, too, because a lot of what was said, as I mentioned then, and what happens a lot of times in these speeches, is all these grand plans, but nothing really specific drilled down. Does that change? Is there something offered up that we haven't heard? And the big thing is, ultimately, the legislative branch is completely not on board. As long as you have the lopsided vote count on the Senate, from Obama's point of view, can't count on the House, and that word that almost makes me nauseous, bipartisan cooperation, there's not a lot of that going on in D.C., and there's not a lot of really solid solutions, because as much as Ellen makes the point there, let's face it, the government props up the economy, that's also part of the problem, too, with this giant government that we have, unfortunately, which is hitting small businesses in a very, very big way. When you look at the GDP and when you look at where we are in the latest NIFD survey, people feel as though, 35% feel as though 35 to 38% feel as though the economy is not rosy and is not offering real solutions to the problem of jobs and how we're going to continue to try to grow the economy. We certainly know that the stock market is having a record year coming off of 2012 in the fall, but that's a little bit different when we break down the private sector and then we break down how much of that is the GDP, pumps into the GDP. So ultimately, I think the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway, besides the obvious that you're going to have a sort of a lazy Susan of big issues like immigration. We're going to talk about immigration and we're going to solve this riddle and we're already doing stuff here. We're going to talk about guns and at least we have to have the vote so everybody knows. And we're going to also look at what we're doing as far as education. Kind of everything is thrown out there. But ultimately, the economics just don't add up. The numbers don't add up, at least the way it's sitting now in Washington, unless they were to chop off a big chunk of that deficit. And if we were to responsibly take back our monetary system, since we're printing money and we have no idea how many gazillion dollars we've printed. It's that quantitative easing, that's what it's called, when you have to prop up the economy the way it is now, or that's the feeling in Washington. So the call for action is, let's print more money. And it's just paper. That's the problem. It's just paper. Speaking of just paper, got to throw this in at the top because this is huge. There may be some of you listening to me that worked in the airline industry or currently are working in the airline industry. I've met a lot of pilots who listen to America Tonight and also some flight attendants. Here's the deal. Whose job is safe? Whose job isn't? But American Airlines is now going to be the big behemoth, the world's biggest airline, because it has been approved, the U.S. Air and American Airlines now cutting a deal, making American, because American will be the brand, U.S. Air will eventually go away, that logo and all that stuff, it'll probably take maybe a full year, but this is official. So the new airline will beef up American's network, especially in the East Coast, because U.S. Air is big in Washington, New York, Philly, and Charlotte with the shuttles and whatnot, and that becomes now American. So consolidating, again, here we go. We got four airlines left. I mean, we're really, aren't we down to four airlines? You'll have American, you'll have Delta, you'll have Southwest, and U.S. Air now will eventually go away, and that becomes part of the American brand. So American in trouble when they filed for bankruptcy, but American management was still trying desperately to be independent. Because remember, you got unions at play here. You have three major unions at American, and they were pushing for the merger because the members, the pilots, the flight attendants, the mechanics, they were unhappy with their contracts and their job cuts that American was demanding. So they're probably somewhat happy. I would say they're happy, but not the CEO, because his job for American will be weaned away. You know, this is the second time that U.S. Airways, which is really considered the fifth airline in our country, has bought out a larger rival, brought it out of bankruptcy court. Remember, because back in 2005, can you remember getting on those America West flights? And that's what happened there. They bought U.S. Airways out of bankruptcy. So here we go again. 1 year later, U.S. Air had a hostile $8 million bid for Delta, which was bankrupt. Delta was able to fend that off. But American, that's not happening there. So will we see flight delays and cancellations and that kind of stuff? There were definitely problems with America when the pilots were calling in sick. When we saw that happen a year ago, or even 5-6 months ago, back at the tail end of 2012. I think actually for passengers, some of this will be better. They'll flip things around depending on where you live. But wow, it'll be the world's biggest airline. And U.S. Air, for some of you that fly U.S. Air and have miles, get ready to figure out what to do with those miles. Well, we have miles to go here on this show, and we're going to log some more in just a minute. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 sea varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
I heat up, I can't cool down. You got me spinning round and round. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame, full of desire. Kiss me, baby, let the fire get higher.
Of what's coming up here on America Tonight. We got a big giveaway, a game from Big Fish. We're going to have 25 winners and then one grand prize winner. So if you like to play games, you know, on your iPad, your iPhone, whatever, you will like this. And it involves a gopher and a fairway and a whole bunch of other things. That's coming up on Valentine's and into the weekend. So on our Monday show, we'll be having the giveaway, too, as well. And maybe you'll be one of the lucky winners. Anytime you can get a cool free new game to check out, especially the people at Big Fish, they do such a good job if you've checked out any of their graphics and any of that kind of stuff. So I can't wait for that. Very, very, very excited. Little scatter shooting here in the big story, besides, of course, the fallout from, I think, the State of the Union address, is what happened with Chris Dorner and the cabin on fire, and will they eventually hear, tell us it is him that kind of leaked out, and then it was shut down almost immediately, like, well, wait a second, we still have to, you know, check the dental records and whatnot, even though we have a charred body there, but the hideout where he was, the police say that they didn't intend to start a fire at the cabin where he was, because that was what became part of the discussion, that he was looking for revenge to get the cops. So then they have this deadly shootout where, unfortunately, another cop was killed and one survived but had to go into surgery. So four killings in all, on the run for 6 days. Never emerged from the cabin at all, but hours later, a charred body was found inside the cabin. So what they believe is that it's him, because guess what? There was a wallet with the California's driver's license, and it had his name, Christopher Dorner, and they found that in the cabin. So speculation started to really surface and became part of talk radio in California, especially in Los Angeles, over whether police purposely started a fire to smoke them out of the of that cabin. But the sheriff, John McMahon, was pretty quick to shut that down and say that they didn't intentionally do that. They didn't intentionally set the fire. I didn't really think about that. They shot tear gas in the cabin, and of course, poof, it erupts in flames. So the tactic, naturally, when you do that, is to push someone out, but it didn't happen. The, you know, did the tear gas start the fire? Was that the reason? You know, at this point, they don't know. They're focused on identifying the remains. Come on, we all know it's him, right? And the condition of the body, I hear, is pretty, they're not saying much about it, but I hear it's pretty, pretty awful, pretty charred. You could definitely do the dental record things, though. So the search ends when a Dorner bolted from hiding, stole two cars, barricaded himself in a vacant cabin, had the shootout, killed one sheriff's deputy, as I mentioned, and wounded the other. So sad way to go down there to take out two more guys, one dying and the other one seriously wounded but surviving, thank goodness. And, you know, all the people that were involved in this search, everybody was looking for him. They were so sure that he was there at Big Bear Lake. And bravo to the cops who were on the trail. I mean, there was the burned out truck, but so many people thought, as did I, that it was kind of a decoy thing, because why would he be in there in Big Bear? He could, but wouldn't he try to get away from that with some of the skills that he had? But that wasn't the case. He obviously was there. So, you know, he stole a pickup truck at gunpoint after he crashed a car into a car, rolled down a window, opened fire on the wardens, and some crazy things certainly took place. And for the 6 days where he was believed to be either in L.A. or the mountains or wherever, people were on edge. I mean, on edge. Absolutely crazy. And, you know, it's they heard the single gunshot. The reporters and other people that were around, and then the cabin goes up in flames. And for all the rant and everything else and all this violence, it's interesting that there was a chance that he could have gotten away. There was 1,000 tips. There was $1 million reward to bring him in and to end the terror that was going on with the 50 families that were targeted, the L.A. police officers who had to have protection around the clock because he was going to bring what he called warfare to that, to the police officers and their family, since he says his life was taken away as he was booted from the force and had fought it for years. So they get 1,000 tips, no sign of him. Then finally, the word that a man with his description had tied up two people in a cabin at Big Bear Lake. That was the turning point. Stole their car and took off, and that was it. There wasn't a lot of details about those people. That was really kept a secret. They did those door-to-door searches, and they were trying desperately to turn something up, and finally they did. Finally they were able to do that, and it certainly doesn't bring back those people's families, the people that were victimized, because that's the awful thing. You know, the couple, what do they have to do with any of this? That's sad that that happened, of course, and now it's over. It's done. I think ultimately, though, if I were, I would want to hear the rest of the story. And if I were, maybe that's the problem, and if I were one of the families who, if I were the cop who retired and my daughter was murdered and her fiance, I would have rather, because there was a chance of the death penalty, I would have rather seen him brought to justice. But of course, the theory is there were a lot of people in the police department with the blue wall that didn't want to see that happen. And it doesn't matter anymore. Now it's a question of, you know, what did we learn from the Chris Dorner thing? And now the whole thing is a wrap. So there's no death penalty. There's no revenge on the other side of this, if you want to call it that, other than the fact that the guy is dead. But there are a lot of people on airwaves, especially in California, a lot of urban radio. I've heard bits and pieces of where They want to know, people that are calling in and want to know what the real story was with Dorner and his firing and why, because he snitched on an officer who was higher up the chain by saying that they kicked the person that they had wrestled to the ground and ultimately tasered and cuffed because they were mentally ill and schizophrenic, and of course you're not supposed to do that. You're not wrapping someone up and then you start kicking them. And that was what Dorner said, and that ultimately led to his firing, where they said he lied and it's not true. And you know, this had a lot of people questioning, you know, what was there more to this Dorner thing, and is this one of the typically corrupt police department moves here? Or is this just a guy with a axe to grind and he's completely wrong and completely made that up? And I got a lot of emails to that effect, too. Got one from Bob listening to us in Illinois who said, listen, I've got two people in my family, including my own son, who's a police officer, however, not in Los Angeles. And as he would tell you, there are many forces that are riddled with corruption. And for a long time, people have talked about Los Angeles. So I think there is a little bit more to the story, and it's too bad that we probably will never find out. And that's probably true. You remember they were reopening, saying, hey, we're transparent. We're going to just let the case. We're going to give you everything of the case. We're going to tell you what happened, all that kind of stuff. We're going to just have all the facts out there. But I have a feeling there'll be like a pullback on that. What are we going to find out now about what happened with Dorner, and why did he feel like he was so screwed over by the L.A. Police Department when he was fired, and how unjust that was, and how that messed up his life and messed up his career after going through the chain of command, the different avenues you have, and with your union rep and everything else. And he, ultimately what they found was that he lied, and I don't think we're going to see any kind of an overturn of what that verdict was that led to him being booted from the force. So in Los Angeles, everybody, for now, breathing a sigh of relief. Coming up here on America Tonight, we're going to dig deeper into minimum wage. Why $9 for minimum wage is not going to solve the problem. It's only going to create more. Hang with us.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Looking back on 2012, I know personally I'm thanking God that my family and I made it through the year. From natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy and the devastating summer drought to the family hardships brought on by a disastrous economy, our hearts go out to those that have lost everything. My friends at eFoods Direct hear from customers every day that are fortunate to weather life's storm by having a supply of food on hand. Danny from New York City wrote in following Hurricane Sandy and said, almost all the grocery stores are closed, but I managed to get my eFoods just in time to be able to help my sister sister and my niece. Bottom line, it's better to be prepared 10 years too early than one day too late. Heed Common Sense's warning and do what I've done. Call 800-409-5633 today or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex. They have the best tasting long-term storable food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 and ask about the Alex Jones special or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Get self-sufficient today. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Going down a dirty inner city side road, I plotted. Madness passed me by, she smiled high, I nodded. Looked up at the sky, began to cry, she shot it. Met a girl from Dearborn early, 6 o'clock this morning, Colfax. Asked about the bag, suburbia such a drag, won't go back.
All right, we're still talking about the President's State of the Union address, some of what I call very strange math. I said it as soon as I was sitting there trying to scribble down stuff and pick out some of the economic things that the President mentioned. I knew when he said minimum wage, $9 an hour, where are we getting that bread? You got to be kidding me. So here with us on America Tonight, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, Bill Dunkelberg is with us in the wings, ready to tell us why $9 an hour for minimum wage just is not a good deal. It's not a good deal, is it, Bill?
No, it really isn't a good deal, and obviously if you're going to get the $9, you're a happy person. I can remember many years ago when I was very young, I was happy when the minimum wage went up, which wasn't too often, but, you know, from the perspective of job creation, this is a really bad idea. A company can afford to pay you no more than the value you bring to the firm. And so every time we raise the minimum wage, we raise that hurdle, so fewer and fewer unskilled kind of new kids out of high school, whatever, qualify to be hired. That is, they can't bring enough value to get hired at the minimum wage. And consequently, we have 25% unemployment rate for teenagers right now. And, of course, we keep raising the minimum wage. We can take that to 30%. But look at the long-term implications of that for our workforce development. You never get the on-the-job training. You never learn how to get to work on time. You never learn how to find a bathroom on the first try. You know, that's a really bad policy.
Yeah, but isn't this part of the problem, part of this battle? Because of what you just said, what minimum wage jobs were supposed to be, and now people are stringing them together and living on them, so it's older people knocking out the teens, knocking out the college students, and so it's flip-flopped everything, hasn't it?
Well, you get a little bit of that. Obviously, you know, if I can find someone who's retired and elderly but wants something to do, this is a person who's been in the workforce for 40, 50 years, so they're experienced. They listen, and I'm more willing to pay them the minimum or whatever that wage, you know, turns out to be than I am a young person that I have to train and deal with and of course screen out, because not all of them will get, you know, will turn out to be good. But most minimum wage workers get a raise within the first year or so, but some of them don't. So why not go with the elderly people? That's quite right. And certainly doing that, but again, that leaves us in the same position. These young people are being denied the opportunity to get on-the-job training. And that's, you know, that's going to really hurt us in the long run.
Yeah, and the thing that's interesting, and I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, but there's already states out there that have increased their minimum wage. There are states that have more than $9 an hour. I want to say California or in the San Francisco area, I think they've got that happening. But regardless,
like $10.50 an hour in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. So you think about that amount of money and then what's happening in other places. So what does that do to cities like San Francisco? Is that stimulating their economy?
Well, it certainly doesn't stimulate the economy. More importantly, it doesn't really add to job growth. There's this kind of myth in the minds of the people that support the minimum wage. They say, wow, if you give everybody more money, they'll spend more money, and that really helps the economy as a stimulus. But If you think about it and you're logical and you have some common sense, you understand that every dollar a minimum wage worker gets comes out of the pocket of a customer. That is, if you're running, you know, it's very competitive out there. There are 6 million employer firms, pizza parlors, barber shops, nail salons, little retailers, very competitive business. So if I have to pay you $9 an hour for the same work you were doing for $7, that's nice for you, but I have to pass that cost on to the consumer. So every buck that a minimum wage worker gets, and maybe they spend it, that's great, but then all the customers have less to spend. So it's a wash. There's no benefit here. In the meantime, we lose more and more opportunities for new people to enter the labor force and get training.
Yeah, and then ultimately, it's like you said, somebody who is poor, you know, how many? Because that's the thought is okay. Everyone who's poor, now we can give you a job. Why are Republicans? Why are other people negative about minimum wage and raising it? Because then we can get them all to work. But that's not how it is. Because you said this, the firm will get the more experienced person or somebody who brings the value, right?
Sure, but you know, as a poverty program, this is terrible. 60% of the people who we classify as poor in our census don't work. And if they wanted to work, by raising the minimum wage, you make it even harder for them to get a job. Most minimum wage workers come from above median income families. That is, they're kids out of high school and college, students with temporary jobs and so on. So as a poverty program, this is a terrible program, very inefficient. It doesn't really help people. And most minimum wage workers, you know, we find get a raise fairly soon afterwards because they've proven themselves to the employer. So what this really does is prevent people with low skills, whether they're old or young, from ever entering the labor force, getting any kind of on-the-job training, and proving to their bosses they do well and improving their lifestyle and getting a raise. That's the tragedy of the minimum wage.
Yeah. And the other thing is, and you talked about the business owner, small businesses and whatnot, and so they're going to have to pass on the cost. Could this also be a killer for a business if it's like, I'm thinking some kind of food place, you know, I have a buddy that owns a restaurant in Tampa, and this wouldn't be, you know, this might not be good for him. He would love to, you know, send all his kids to college, send all the kids that are working for him to college, but he's brand new. He has to make it work, and this could be crippling to someone like him. Could it result in businesses having to ultimately close, like restaurants?
Well, absolutely, because the major cost that most small businesses face is labor cost. This is not General Motors, you know, or General Electric, where we don't need many workers. We have a lot of assembly lines that get the work done. These small businesses do very labor-intensive things. So when you raise the cost of labor, you're raising the cost, the major cost that small businesses face. So if you're a marginal operator, you won't be able to handle the higher cost because you can't pass the cost on. Competition is too tough, and you're in the wrong location, so you're not quite good enough for the revenue. So not only will you not provide any new jobs, you'll actually go out of business, and all the jobs will be lost at that particular firm. And we see that happen, of course, every year. You know, a few hundred thousand firms do go out of business for a lot of reasons. But, you know, that would certainly be one that would help push them over the hump.
Well, and you saw, obviously, in picking out the $9 minimum wage, but there were also parts of what the president was saying about the economy and the State of the Union address, about progress being made and whatnot. I mean, obviously, you're a numbers guy. You're following this, looking at it from the business point of view, from entrepreneurship, small businesses, all that kind of stuff. What would you say overall about the State of the Union when it came to economics?
Well, the State of the Union is pretty grim. It's actually a very bifurcated economy. If you look at the stock market, it's reaching new record highs. Corporate profits as a share of GDP, those are reaching new record highs. But notice that, like Coca-Cola just declared earnings, where'd they make all their money? Overseas.
All right.
So if you look at the small business sector, which does produce half of the private GDP and employs half of the private sector workforce, half of those 130 million people that still have a job, they're not importers and exporters. They don't do any of that kind of business. They're looking at just their local communities, and consumer spending has been very, very slow. Only 11% of all consumers, according to the University of Michigan, think the government is doing a good job on a policy perspective. And you look at the small business owners, their optimism looks like it did back in the early 1980s. You sound like you're too young to remember that recession period, but it was very bad. So they look forward. We have 12% who think the economy will be better in 6 months and 35% who think it'll be worse. So these people aren't even going to hire because they don't expect the number of customers to grow. They don't expect more expenditures. So they're not going to hire. They're not going to buy new inventories. They're not going to expand their business because they're very concerned about the outlook. Of those who say it's a bad time to expand, 30% say due to the political climate. That's an all-time 40-year high for the NFIB survey. And until they get it squared away in Washington, they're going to keep this economy growing at a very slow pace.
So really, in a nutshell, if you have too much government, this call for bigger government, expanding government, all that stuff, it really is a job killer.
Oh, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, I always, I'm a professor when I, well, I actually retired from grading, but until then, I always told my students the higher the share of the gross domestic product that the government controls, the worse off the citizens are going to be. And, of course, the Soviet Union is a great example of that. But, you know, you can look all through history and all across the globe, that's the case. And so you've got government trying to manage our resources. They do a terrible job of managing resources. And we will suffer if we have bigger and bigger government. We'd like to see that. Not the case. Put the money back in the hands of you and me. We're the ones who decide if a company is doing a good job or not, not the government. And we use profits as a measure of that, and that's fine. But when the government sucks all the profits up in higher taxes, well, then we have no resources, no capital to increase our businesses, grow them, hire more people, and do the kinds of things that make this company, this country, USA Inc., that's our company, the great company that it should be.
Yeah. Bill Dunkelberg, thank you so much for coming on. And I understand you're a professor emeritus at Temple University, am I right?
Right, that's right.
Go Owls. I'm from just over the bridge in South Jersey.
Right. Thanks,
Bill. Bye-bye.
All right, anytime. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Is there a less expensive way to detoxify your body?
Yes. Microplant powder from hempusa.org frees your body of toxins from vaccinations, pharmaceutical residues, heavy metals, parasites, and toxic chemicals in your food and water for around $10 a month. Microplant powder removes virus, fungus, and bacteria while cleaning and purifying the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. It unclogs arteries and softens heart valves. Plus, microplant powder can be taken with any liquid, any pharmaceutical, at any time. It's truly the easiest and most cost-effective way to clean and detoxify your body for around $10 a month. Microplant powder from hempusa.org. It really works. And for persistent health issues, try our Matrix Bio Powder together with microplant powder for a deeper cellular cleaning. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. And see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Tonight, I can tell you, for this hour anyway, I can tell you who's not feeling so beautiful right now, and they're making the way from the Gulf of Mexico, making their way from the Gulf of Mexico to Mobile, Alabama. Hotel rooms waiting for them. Ooh, they're going to get $500 in compensation for being on the poop deck, literally, because it is a floating outhouse. The Carnival Cruise Line Triumph, the boat, the Triumph, is a mess. Passengers on board stranded since Sunday. The conditions, awful, awful odor. Toilets not working, so you get the gist of that. Long waits for food, people hoarding food, no water, people going to the bathroom in little plastic bags and putting it outside their room. Oh, man. And then you had the CEO of Carnival Cruise saying, yes, there are some working toilets. Well, there's fewer than two dozen public toilets that are working. I bet those people cannot wait. There's going to be like a stampede to get off that boat when they pull into Mobile, Alabama. So they have tugboats that have, because they're having a tough time. Another one came out from Louisiana to try to tow them in. That's what they're doing. They're trying to pull in the, this floating floating outhouse and get these people off this boat. And it's very strange. The you know, there's people that are honeymooning, young couples. There are 500 franchise McDonald's owners who were celebrating. They were on the cruise. There was a Boy Scout troop. Some boys from a Boy Scout troop were on a cruise. There were a couple of mother-daughter excursions. You know, people celebrating there for different reasons. A little short cruise. This will be fun. Leave from Galveston, Texas, and boom, we're back within a handful of days. And so it's just been terrible. They have one dining room that works that has hot food and hot coffee. That's it. And then there's some dispute because people are saying, well, wait, some of the conditions we keep hearing about are just so awful. And that's what the Carnival CEO said, Jerry Cahill. He said, it's important that I apologize to our guests and their families that have been affected, but we've reserved 1,500 hotel rooms for the passengers in Mobile and New Orleans, and 20 chartered flights are going to take the people to Houston. Because they know this is couldn't be their worst PR nightmare ever. 3,143, that's the passenger list. 1,086 crew members. They were sailing, just in case you haven't heard about this, they were sailing about 150 miles off the coast of the Yucatan Peninsula, and then there was this engine room fire, which, how is there an engine room? Haven't we gotten beyond the Titanic? How is there, I'm just saying, guys, people that have boats, how is there an engine room fire on this cruise line with all these people, and how is the ship disabled because of that? They had no backups? They had nothing that they could kick in that would work, that would help the ship? I mean, it was just disabled, that was it, and it had to be towed from Progreso, and the winds pushed them even further north, so that they were so stuck with this tow idea that they would have been in port sooner. They should have already been there, but they had to go all the way to Mobile. That was the only way to get them there, and then waiting on the other side, you know, those rooms and everything else. So the ship had 14 voyages that were set, and they were all set up and ready to go. They're canceled. They were all right in a row. They're canceled all the way through April 13th. So those people get a full refund, and they get a discount on another cruise. But, man, this is, what, 2 years after the other ship, the Splendor, had the same thing. They had a fire in the engine room, and they were stranded out at sea. In 2 years, because I think this is, I don't know a lot about boats. I know that I like them, and I get on them where they're ski-sized boats or your fishing boats. But if there is a cruise line with all those people on board, and the money that Carnival Cruise must make, there isn't a way to solve this problem if they have an engine fire. Is that just how it is? Hey, you have an engine fire. There's not a backup situation. It's a freaky thing. It happens. If it happens, it happens. And, you know, this is, we got to get pulled back in if we're going to be disabled. Anyway, here's Mary Porritt talking about what she heard about the halls and everything else and what the worst part is.
I just need to know that she's okay. And I don't know that. I'm worried. The worst part was when she said, Mommy, I'm afraid I won't ever get to see you again. There's people, you know, throwing up. You know, you're having to cover your face to walk down the halls because of the stench. For my 12-year-old daughter to be afraid that she's not going to come off the ship to see me. It was horrible.
Yeah, that was a mother who was worried because her daughter was with her husband on the boat, upset, and was with another friend, another daughter. So these were two fathers that had taken their daughters on this cruise. And you heard her, obviously, she was pretty distraught at the situation. And I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of tales to come out of that boat. And you know when they dock, too, by the way, that there's going to be a ton of reporters who will be sitting there waiting with bated breath and cameras rolling to get the story firsthand as all the people run off the boat. And I think that it's going to be pretty easy. Usually you have stragglers and it takes a while to disembark. I bet you they are going to get off that thing as fast as they can, as fast as humanly possible. And like I said, to me, this is a big story, but it's a big story because we have this happening a couple of years after it had already happened. And with these problems, you would think that they would do something about it. There would have to be some way better than, oh, we've got to get tugboats out there and rely on other people, other boats out there to deliver food, or some other cruise line, or one of our ships that could go over by there, or, you know, we'll get the tugboats out there and we'll figure out where we can get them to port. And, you know, sure, accidents happen, but if this is a common occurrence and there is always this possibility that this could happen, then wouldn't you think that there would be some plan? I mean, is this the roll of the dice cruise? Hey, normally it's terrific. People like to cruise. It's all good. You'll love it. But if the bad number comes up, so sorry, you just might be stuck. And one of the biggest concerns is that the potential for disease, because when you've got people that are getting sick and you have people that are, you know, have diarrhea on the poop deck, it is not good. So what they're doing is they're working double shifts to keep everything as clean and wipe everything down and do everything they can, because they're worried that this might be the end result. You'll end up with that crazy virus, the norovirus is what it's called. And if you get that kind of disease, that's what happens. Then it turns into really serious people seriously getting really, really sick. And they don't want that on top of everything else. The boat has about 40% power. So 40% power is why I guess the dining room's okay, one of the dining rooms, and they have some areas that are lit on that boat. But certainly they don't, you know, it's nothing as was advertised. And right from the beginning, this was a bad scene for them because of the fire that broke out so soon. And they can apologize all they want about no running water, limited food, too few toilets, crawling toward Alabama. But I wonder, I mean, what a miserable experience. How many of those people will want to go and take a cruise again? And sure, they've got the hotels and the planes to take them back and everything else. And they're giving them $500 each and saying they're paying for the cruise. But really, is that enough? There could be, could you have a lawsuit? Could you have a class action suit here based on the fact of maybe negligence, easy for me to say, because of what happened in the past, going back to what the other voyage was 2 years ago on the Splendor. I don't know. A bunch of you emailed me to tell me how great cruises are. I have to tell you, after all this, I am not convinced.
Oh, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
Oh, man. Talk radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Bust out the crab cakes, let's eat hurricanes and beignets for breakfast.
My name is Stephen Huer. After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've observed that most brain malfunctions have at their roots some form of toxicity and brain damage. So whether it is poor memory, poor focus, lack of creative thinking, or more serious matters like inability to focus, speak normally, or remember things, the emphasis to getting one's brain working optimally needs to be on detoxification. One World Way supports your body's number one means of detoxification, which is glutathione production.
My name is Angie, and my son has suffered from borderline autism and constipation. I got him on One World Way, and in 2 months, his constipation is gone. He's become friendlier. He can carry on a normal conversation with me, and he's made his first friend. He's doing great, and he looks forward to taking One World Way every day. You could offer him a present or a cake, and he would prefer the One World Way.
Go to oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com, or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.